Good morning. If you got your Bible with you, I encourage you to open to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be looking there at a few verses in Revelation chapter 3. In this message, I've entitled Dining with the King. If you want to turn to your copy of God's Word, whether it's in the printed form or in digital form, to Revelation 3, and we're going to begin reading there at verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. This passage is often used for evangelism, and is great for that, especially the imagery of Jesus Christ knocking at the door in verse 20. But who was the book of Revelation written to? Well, it was written to the church. And who were the seven letters addressed to? Well, local churches. So then, who is this passage intended for? For Christians. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Look at that verse 20 one more time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. As an important truth of the new life in Christ is that we can dine with the King of Kings, Jesus. Have you ever dined with a king? Or maybe with a celebrity of some sort? I had that opportunity when I was in boarding school that I went to many, many years ago. We were assigned to various tables during the evening dinner meal, and we were moved around from table to table throughout the year. And each of those tables sat, I don't know, eight people or so. And then there was a head table which sat many more where the headmaster sat. It was raised up on a platform, and the headmaster and his wife, and then any special guests who happened to be at the school, and then a number of the students. And just about every student got to sit at the head table at least once, maybe twice during the course of the year. I got to sit there once, and it turned out that we had special guests. In fact, one particular guest, and I got to sit right beside this guest. Now, I don't know if any of you ever watched the old comedy series from many years ago, The Munsters. Well, Herman Munster, the actor Fred Gwynne, graduated from that same boarding school, and he came back occasionally to visit, and he was there, and I got to sit right beside Herman Munster. It was an exciting thing to me. I love telling that story about sitting there, and I got to even talk to him. And he really does look like Frankenstein, the Herman Munster character. I love telling that dining experience. And why? Why do I like to do that? Well, it was an exciting life moment for me. Well, let me ask. If we can dine with the Lord, according to our passage, If we can die with our Savior, the eternal creator of the universe, why do we not often hear Christians excitedly sharing about their experiences? We will talk much of worldly experiences, but are mostly quiet about spiritual ones. Well, let me meddle and be so bold as to suggest why that is. Many Christians are not dining with the King, at least not regularly. A little fast food on Sunday at church, but sitting at the enemy's table much of the rest of the time. Many Christians are not even prepared to dine with the King. I call them spiritual bulimics, not digesting or applying the truth, gagging on or resisting the Scriptures. The question I have for us this morning is, why is it that many Christians are not prepared to dine with the King? Well, our text in Revelation 3, we can see two reasons that I'd like us to look at in this message. First, there is a lack of commitment in the church today. Look at verses 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Christians can be in one of three states: spiritually cold, lukewarm, or hot. Everyone has needs in life. The issue is how they're handled. If a person is spiritually hot, people see needs taken to the Lord. But if the person is spiritually cold, they see needs taken to the world. Why does Jesus dislike lukewarm Christians? They are, according to the text, they are clearly distasteful and nauseating to him. Well, I think it comes down to, as lukewarm, one foot in the church, one foot in the world, people assume that they have no needs. There's no witness to the difference that Jesus makes. So there's no conviction. They're useless for ministry. Laodicea had become complacent. No persecution, comfortable, prospering, self-satisfied, doing nothing to evangelize, grow, or glorify God. This is the worst state of all. Lukewarm. Just kind of going along. It's easy to judge a cold church or a hot church, but what about the indifferent church that claims the name of Jesus? There's a lack of commitment in the church today. Second reason I say that many Christians are not ready to dine with the King is that there's a lack of dependence in the church today. Look at verses 17 and 18. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. These believers gave appearance of being strong, but they deceived themselves. Self-effort was the correct word for these Christians. Dependence was on their own resources. They had pride. They were in spiritual darkness and didn't even realize it. Ignorance. And so Jesus, in dealing with them, attacked their source of pride. See, Laodicea was a major banking community. It was a clothing manufacturing center and a medicine development, pharmaceuticals center. Particularly a special eye salve for healing. Jesus offered eternal riches versus earthly reward. The covering of sin versus the covering of skin. And spiritual wisdom versus fleshly ignorance. And listen, it's all free. He said, buy it from him. But it's all free. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. The prophet says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. They were proud of what they had accomplished and the standing that they had there. And Jesus said, all that you have, you're in a bad state. Come and get what you need from me. What was the problem? They saw their life situation by bank accounts and buildings and as members in high standing. They thought they were high on the social plane. Jesus said they were wretched. They thought they were happy. Jesus said they were miserable. They thought they were rich. Jesus said they were poor and naked. They thought they were wise, seeing clearly. Jesus said they were blind. Sadly, many Christians and whole churches today are making the same mistakes. As the solution to their problem, and ours as well, spiritual problem, Jesus gave them and he gave to us two instructions. First, he said, place yourself in God's furnace. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Mine gold is put in the furnace to refine it, not to destroy it. The ore is melted, the impurities are removed, and the pure gold is left. I've talked on other occasions about my experience at that same boarding school working in the print shop where we would produce the lead for printing on this casting machine, and after it was used to print a newspaper or whatever was being printed, all of the used type pieces, the lead, was melted. Well, it all had ink on it, and when it was heated up and melted to be reused in the machine, all of the ink would float to the top and we would use a skimming strainer to take all of the ink off. And when all of the ink was taken off, and you looked at that lead, that molten lead, it was so shiny that you could actually see your own reflection in there. It was pure lead, ready to be used again. And that we used that lead over and over and over again. Just by removing, heating it up, melting it, and removing the ink so that it's pure to be used again. God tests our faith to refine it, not to destroy it. Trials humble us. Our sins are drawn out like that ink. And an improved Christian is left. Do you want to be really rich and buy from Jesus with his spiritual currency, faith, strengthened by every test? Do you want to really cover your nakedness and put on the white garments of the Lord, Christ's righteousness? It is sufficient. Unlike the feeble coverings of Adam and Eve that they used to attempt to cover their guilt from sin. If you go there to Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, remember they had sinned, they ate the fruit from the tree where they weren't supposed to, and their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked. In verse 7 it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." The only thing that can hide our spiritual nakedness, sin, is the covering of Jesus' righteousness by our confession and our forgiveness. Do you want to be able to see clearly? Then seek Jesus for the cure to spiritual blindness. John chapter 3, in verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, he answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So place yourself in God's furnace that he can refine you, remove the sin and sin's effects by faith. You can grow, and that faith will be purified and grow stronger. And then second, open your heart to God's fellowship. Look at verses 19 and 20 of Revelation 3. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Listen, God will not allow anyone that he loves to escape his discipline. No exceptions. It's a sign of his love, causing people to deal with their sins, bringing them to repentance. Verse 20 says that Jesus takes the first step in that process toward that intimate fellowship. He says, I stand at the door and knock. We must take the step of response. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. What a picture we see here. Jesus seeking entrance into His church, into the lives of His followers, Christians. Let me ask you, is it possible for Jesus to be locked out of His own church? It is a sad sight. It's easy to slip into the mentality of we want what we want, when we want it, and in the way we want it. No longer seeking the Lord's guidance, no longer seeing a need for change. We become comfortable, and we like it that way. Once upon a time, there was a duck church. Every member of the church was a duck. They had a duck choir, a duck song leader, and a duck preacher. The duck preacher's favorite passage was Isaiah 40, and verse 31. All the ducks would amen, depart about mounting up with wings as eagles. After the last amen was quacked, the ducks would waddle home. It seems that being in church had made no difference in the lives of the ducks. And you know, many Christians are like those ducks. They believe the right stuff. They go to church every Sunday. Most people would not know that they're Christians. What they believe has no impact on how they live their lives. Well, let me ask you, are you, as you sit here, are you ready to dine with the King? Committed, spiritually hot, dependent, aware of your spiritual need, and obedient, seeking guidance. John chapter 4, verses 32 down to verse 38, he said to them, this was when he was at with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and the disciples had left to go get food when they came back. He wasn't looking for anything to eat. And he said in verse 32, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. What kind of food? How do we stop being spiritually bulimic? A daily diet of certain spiritual disciplines. No one of these can be omitted. Prayer, Bible reading, Bible study, worship, giving. If these are regular practice, you're ready to dine with the King. If not, well, turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Listen, if you cannot handle milk, how can you eat meat? Dining with the king demands his food, commitments, dependence, obedience. Listen, this is a message for believers. This is also a message for unbelievers, for non-believers. It's that great evangelism text. You see, God is repulsed by your unrepentant sin. He's ready to vomit you into hell. Apart from His grace, you're deceived by your own efforts and good works. Jesus is seeking entrance into your life and is ready to forgive you. But you need to respond. He's knocking at the door, but you have to open the door and invite Him in. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's not just physical death, that's a spiritual death in hell for all of eternity. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And you know why? Because God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us, and that's why He gave us Jesus Christ. That's why He sent His Son. And He sent Him to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get cleaned up. He, as we were in the middle of our sin, just where we were, Jesus died on the cross for us. We just need to confess that and acknowledge our conviction. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And in Romans 10:13, we need to reach out and ask. All, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Let me ask you a question. Will you, today, right here, watching, listening, will you open the door and let Jesus into your life by faith? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the testimony here. Thank You for the Word of Jesus Christ calling us to be spiritually hot, to look to Him for our needs, His righteousness, rather than to try and do it on our own, and to open the door to receive Him in for fellowship, to dine with the King. Father, I just pray that You would give us conviction and give us the grace to act upon it. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.